Hey, what's your problem? You have business problems?
We have business solutions.
Sort of. Well, maybe. Life is a fight. In business, every day is a fight. So, hey, what's your problem?
Yes, thank you, John David Wells, the big voice guy with the What's Your Problem podcast, broadcasting, or recording rather, from the Big Dot Studios here in Spring Hill, Tennessee, from the compound. Check us out at BigDotLighting.com, BigDotElectrical.com, and now BigDotHeatingAndAir.com. If you've got, you know, heating and air and electrical problems, we've got heating and air and electrical solutions. Waka waka. This is the What's Your Problem podcast, talking about the problems and issues that business owners and professionals around the Middle Tennessee area and sometimes beyond that are having. It's always something, as I always say. And just a reminder, you can watch or listen to this podcast. We kind of accommodate whatever your poison may be, so pick it. Go to What's Your Problem whatsyourproblempodcast.com. Gotta love summer allergies. I am your host, Jim McCarthy, with JimMcCarthyVoiceovers.com. So many .coms. And I am your host. And today, I'm bringing in someone, a fine gentleman that is in charge of a very noble nonprofit here locally. I think it's the first nonprofit we've had on. And they're doing a lot of really good work, especially when it comes to fatherhood. Please welcome to the show, Mr. Marcus McNeese.
McNeese, yes. McNeese. Welcome. I appreciate the invite to your show, man. I'm excited to dive into what I'm doing with my nonprofit, Stronger Than My Father, and my passion to change people's mindset concerning fatherhood.
Absolutely, and I really do appreciate that because, I mean, sometimes, you know, as fathers, it's a tough role, man.
Yeah, it is. Being a dad, I'm a father of two boys, Marcus Jr. and Jordan.
I met your boys. They're good kids, man.
Well, that's, you're doing, you know, a good job. I appreciate it. It's just the journey of being a father, man, has really changed my life over the past 12 years. Yeah. So my passion is, you know, continue to help young men who don't have a father figure, push them and coach them to a better life. So you don't have to go down so many wrong roads because those are decision making. Yeah. So if you can decide to do bad, I believe that you can decide to do good and make a difference in this world. So that's why I believe my purpose on this earth is to coach them, push them, drive them, sometimes occasionally make you mad. But my goal is to see you succeed and be successful in life and also give back.
Of course. Absolutely. But we're going to get things going with what I call the random five.
Yes. Okay,
we're going to create some energy here. I've met you literally a couple of weeks ago. Uh-huh. But I think we have a pretty good feel. We're more than acquaintances at this point. So, I mean, we know each other. But this is just a fun thing to kind of get things started and the energy moving. It's called the random five.
Let's go.
And it's five random questions.
All right.
Literally random. Brought to you by Kolioka Company. Check those guys out. If you want a cleaner that is all natural, and one of their first cleaners was probiotic based, meaning it digests things like cat urine odor and can actually remove it from rugs and couches and things of that nature, car interiors, terrific cleaner. Check it out. They're locally based right here in Middle Tennessee out of Kolioka, run by Mr. Sonny Hobbs and Chad Fry. Check out, link is in the description. And I am fighting allergies today, so I apologize ahead of time. Okay, question number one. Marcus, if you had a disease named after you, what would be the symptoms?
Oh, wow, that's a good question. I don't know. I think chicken pox would be one, because I'm usually stick on people and usually have a scar by the time I get through dealing with you. The chicken pox leaves a scar, man. I'm rough. I'm a rough guy, man.
Question number two, what's the best road trip you've been on?
I say Orlando. We did our family vacation trip in 2016. That was my favorite trip because it was with my whole entire family. Mm-hmm. So I would say that's my best vacation outside of my honeymoon. 20 years ago, but my best vacation, I believe, was my family vacation.
Very nice. We went to Orlando in 2016 as well. What time of year did you go?
We went in October 16 to Disney, and we was there when Hurricane Matthews hit, so we was bunkered
still
down.
Crowded, right?
Yes. Massively. That's the first time they had closed Disney in like multiple years, like 30 years.
Wow.
And they closed Disney due to the hurricane.
Very cool. Okay, I'm actually numbering the amount of questions here because I lose count.
I was on radio. That's number three.
I don't math well.
That's cool.
This is number three. What you do you wish your phone could do?
Block spam calls. Jesus. Spamming all this. I get at least 10 spams a day.
Really?
To buy something. And I'm like, how do they get my number? So I go off. I'm just tired of it. But if I could do that, block spam calls.
Nice. Question number four, how often do you curse? I can't imagine you do.
Nah, I don't really curse.
Yeah.
Sometimes in my mind, but not vocally, because, you know, I'm trying to be an example for my sons and be an example for other people, but sometimes in my mind, I do want to cuss people out.
Yeah,
I do.
Filth, Larn, filth.
Yeah.
All right. What final question? What piece of clothing have you seen that you desperately wanted?
I love Under Armour.
Yeah.
I love Under Armour polo
shirt. I don't
own
anything by them.
Man, they are on social media, have sales. I'm always buying an Under Armour shirt. I actually got one in the mail today. And it was funny that the guy who delivered it, I just saw on my ring that he slapped it up against the wall to kill a bug.
Really?
And then put my package down. I was like, wow, use my package to kill a bug? So that was cool, but I love Under Armour. I used to have Under Armour workout shirts, Under Armour everything. So Under Armour is my
brand. That's your choice.
Brand. That's my choice, yeah.
I need to get some. I've never actually wore, I don't think I own a piece of Under Armour.
Go to their website, man. They have a lot
good prices,
yeah.
They're up in Mount Juliet, I believe.
I didn't know that.
Distribution.
I didn't know that. I just go online and get polo shirts. So that's crazy. Have one in my car right now.
Nice. Well, there you go. There's the random five. We're going to take a quick break and get on with it with Mr. Marcus Manise with Stronger Than My Father. Be right back.
Henry Ford once said that if you need a machine and don't buy it, then you will ultimately find that you have paid for it and don't have it. Nothing could be truer about energy-efficient LED lighting in your business. At Big Dot Lighting, we can show you how a portion of your savings from a commercial LED lighting upgrade will be paid for in hardly any time at all. Until then, you're paying for them anyway. Book a no-cost lighting energy assessment with Big Dot Lighting. At least 30% of your utility bill is waiting to be saved. Go to BigDotLighting.com.
All right, coming back in. Thanks for hanging out with us, the What's Your Problem podcast. Today featuring Mr. Marcus Manise. It's Manise?
Manise.
Manise.
So, yeah, think about your knees and it's so easy.
Manise.
Got it.
Manise. It's got the Mick in it.
Yeah, man. Hey, 45 years I heard my name all kind of ways, man.
So
it don't bother me.
Good to know. So you are doing a very noble thing, I believe. And when I sat down with you, we had a great conversation. We're getting a podcast thought about and I ideated and created and produced for you here underway soon. Hopefully to come out, we're thinking probably mid-July.
Yes.
But I mean, ultimately, what was the impetus for you to start all of this?
Well, I did radio for 3 years on a gospel station called Tough Talk Tuesday, where I was tackling issues that affected family, fatherhood, just different issues that really affected the family. So got burnt out after 3 years. And then I, you know, started hearing about podcasts. And I was like, wow, man, it'll give me a chance to just really get my voice out about issues that I see that affect families and affect kids. Because in the work I do, I'm trying to help kids who don't have a father piece.
Right.
Because, you know, I believe it takes two to really raise a formidable child. It can be done with one. But I just believe that when two are together, look how powerful your child can become.
That's a very controversial standpoint these days.
Yes. That's why I want the podcast to debate. We go toe to toe because I'm using it from my perspective. I had two great parents, great mom, great dad, been married nearly 50 years in this November. So I'm using my perspective, but the podcast is understanding the other side of other people's problems and being open to listening and understanding.
Very cool. So, I mean, what kind of reaction did you get on that radio show?
A lot of backlash, mainly because I always didn't agree on everybody's opinion. Because I always say that a problem starts somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so issues like Black Lives Matter, I always say, where did the problem start? Right. And then, you know, I wasn't always agreeable on it. So people got mad at me. Mm-hmm. People got mad because I didn't agree with everything that went on in churches. Mm-hmm. I still don't agree with some of the issues that goes on, especially in pretty much African-American churches. Mm-hmm. I think they can do more to help people's lives and change people's lives. And so once I seen the church become a business, it kind of changed my mindset about churches. And I know that's controversial. So those issues were where people disagreed with me a lot.
Well, I see this, what your point is about churches. I mean, it happens in, I think, all churches. They become corporations.
Yeah.
Because they have to, you know, they build these giant buildings and you got to have cash flow to sustain them.
I agree with that. Mm-hmm. I just believe that that's cool and all.
Yeah.
But I think your mission should, outside of trying to get everybody to heaven, how many heaven stories are you going to hear?
Right.
I mean, you hear heaven stories almost every week, but you still have to live on earth in some kind of manner. You still have to make a living to take care of your family. So I wish churches will hit those issues more because you have to live.
Yeah.
And so, and then, you know, it's great when you have both father and mother role in that piece to help instead of just giving you a sermon and then you go right out the door. What about Monday through Saturday?
Yeah.
So that's kind of where my issue is. That's why I believe that the podcast can open up a light to that and share more information about why churches should step up and do more to help fatherless youth and also help families break cycles.
Right. What kind of things have you seen and what kind of stories come to mind that you've aided or helped out with? With Stronger Than My Father.
I started with my cousin, who was 3 years old back in 03, who didn't have a father, never seen his dad. Mom died at an early age at 3 years old.
Right.
So my mother asked me to become his big brother. And through our mentorship, I have an undergrad in psychology. I always wondered, why wouldn't his dad want him?
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't his dad come back to raise his son? So my curiosity became to research and understanding that fatherhood was a cycle. So that's why my slogan is "The Cycle Ends With Me," because my goal is that when you become a father, you're there for your kids and then you can break your generational cycle.
Mm-hmm.
I've helped kids get into college through Tennessee State University. I've had stories where parents got mad at me because I wasn't able to, you know, pick up a child for a mentoring program. So they was kind of using me like a daycare person.
Oh, wow.
And I was upset about it. So
understandably.
Yeah. So I've done fatherhood field trips back in 14 and 15. I took a group of boys on Father's Day weekend to New Frontier in Smithsville, Tennessee. That was a great experience because I picked out activities that would challenge their fears. Zip lining. I'm too big to do zip lining, so the kids did it. You got to be 250 pounds or less to do zip lining.
Yeah,
you over 250, it's going to get dangerous. So you can see I'm a big guy. Also, we did canoeing, which really was weird because you have 13 kids on a canoe boat and you're going deep out into the lake. And that was really scary for me because I can't swim well, and I don't think a life jacket can really hold me up, a big guy like myself. So that was a great field trip. I'm looking to do it again summer of next year where we can go back to New Frontier, spend Father's Day weekend with kids who don't have fathers to wake up on Father's Day morning. I want to be sure that they know there are a group of guys that want to support them beyond the field trip.
Yeah.
That I stick with you like a coach.
Yeah.
That's like I'm like a bug, man. If you allow me to work with you, I'm like a bug that just stays on top of you until you get to the place where you don't really need me much. And kind of like a father, I don't really need my dad much, but from time to time I call him for advice.
Of course.
That's kind of person and the mentor I want to be.
See, my dad, I had the opportunity and, you know, I would guess I'll venture to say privilege.
Yeah.
I grew up with two parents, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My father was very much involved with us and invested with us and everything. So I don't know what that life is like. I really don't know. You know, my parents had their challenges. They thrived on, you know, generally on conflict, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, my father, because of his relationship with his father, which was somewhat non-existent, he didn't want that for us. So basically, that really kind of enabled us to have a father figure. And man, to carry that forward is a big challenge, especially when you have kids of your own in a day and age such as now.
Yeah.
Where having a single, you know, I'm the one who produces the income.
Mm-hmm.
That's unheard of these days.
Yeah.
So all of my time is dominated by providing.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. It's a job. And initially, it was designed that way for the mother to nurture the child. And the father becomes that provider, make sure the family is stable. And now you have men and women working. Nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Long as you understand that your child comes first.
Right.
So in all the work that I do, mentoring, after school program, I always make time for my two boys because I don't want them to grow up and say, Daddy, you bless everybody else, but you didn't bless our lives. So right. I know how to cut it off, put it in between. But what your dad did is he broke a cycle.
Yeah.
Because now you're a father, and my dad had his father who was a great grandfather, but my dad knew what to do. But one thing about fatherhood, a lot of people don't know, is it's a decision making.
Yeah.
It's a decision to be a father. It's a decision to be a faithful husband. Everything comes to a decision. My dad can give me all the tools, but I have to make that conscious decision to be a great father and a great husband. And I've been blessed to be able to make those decisions, celebrating 20 years on next Wednesday of being married, a married father. And like I said, we had our challenges, but it wasn't no challenges that was too hard to overcome. So I'm truly blessed, man. And I want to use my life at 45 to continue to push and push these young men who don't have a father to say, hey, you can make a great decision as long as you get a coach and somebody to push you and that you can believe.
Well, you know what? I'm going to give that a...
Yes.
You cracked a whip on that, buddy.
Yes.
I think you hit the nail on the head when you said it's a decision.
It's all a decision.
You know, it's funny. We're just past... this podcast we're recording the Thursday after Father's Day 2021. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's kind of interesting that it's falling... Now, you know, mm-hmm. reflecting on Father's Day, it's funny, you know, you look around, I'm a huge Marvel fan, right?
Yes.
I can't, it goes out of focus every now and then. I get it. There we go. So, in one of the Marvel movies, it's Guardian of the Galaxies Volume 2.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a very father-centric heavy movie,
mm-hmm.
right? Because there's a lot of different themes going throughout that movie with fatherhood and having to deal mm-hmm. with fatherhood. You know, Peter Quill, the character who's one of the main protagonists, discovers who his father is. And it's mm-hmm. this, you know, what they call a celestial named Ego. And he's first introduced to him in this particular movie. But then he realizes the man who raised him, who mm-hmm. was almost like an antagonist in the previous movie, is, you know, he says something very key to him at the end because he's sacrificing his life. I don't know if you saw the movie.
Some of it.
He sacrifices his life to save Peter Quill at the end. Mm-hmm. Not to give anything away, spoilers. But, you know, Yondu was the one who raised Quill. And mm-hmm. he says something very poignant as he's going through the sacrifice. He says, you know what? He may have been your father, but he wasn't your daddy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's an amazing, because they wrap up the whole movie with Jim Croce's father and son song.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so just a heavy movie when it comes to fatherhood.
Well, I think a lot of people, I used to have a heavy debate around Father's Day weekend. Should a person buy a mom who didn't, you know, a guy who have his father but had a strong mother, should you buy his mom a mm-hmm. Father's Day card on Father's Day? And I had an episode on one of my radio show that I said no, mm-hmm. because Mother's Day is your time. Father's Day is designed for fathers, and I took a backlash
mm-hmm.
because people say, you don't know. You don't understand what I go through not having that father. My mom was there, and I said, I clearly understand that. But there's a time for everything. And I think that that's why I want to speak more about it, to understand other people's views on fatherhood.
Yeah.
I was blessed. I mean, I can't tell you how blessed I am to have
a great father.
I had a great dad. He's out there working right now, and I want to be with him cutting grass. We had a lawn service business. Mm-hmm. But out of two brothers, you know, God has just blessed me and put me in a position in my heart to go help the fatherless.
Right.
Because that's a serious problem. Right. Every time you see news and you see a kid get in trouble, I always ask myself, did they have a father? And then what kind of tools did the father put in them?
Oh, they've got a father somewhere.
Yeah, but what tools? You didn't get the tools. And that's what God, and nobody believes, but that's what God has designed.
Yeah.
My daddy didn't teach me to go kill nobody. My father didn't teach me how to do bad things. Well, he taught me to do great things, but there's so many that don't have that, so they look towards the social media. That's why gangs are so big.
Yeah.
Gangs are alternative families. That's what gangs are.
That's alternative families. It's a feeling of belonging.
There we go. And so that's the problem that you have now, And I've seen kids go down that road instead of saying, hey, I want to do great things. I want to get a job. I want to go here. I want to do there. You can if you believe and then somebody pushes you.
Yeah.
But gangs are picking kids up as early as third grade.
Yeah.
And so that's where my fight is. That's where my voice is hoping it will go.
Yeah.
But I want to fight for kids to have a better shot and a better opportunity at life because they didn't get a father. And it's sad. It's so sad. And one thing about fatherhood, a lot of people suppress it. Yeah. They don't want to think about it. They don't want to think about not having that dad piece, but they don't realize that God put in every child's mind to have a dad. And one thing, my youngest is five. Mm-hmm. He always say, hey, dad, hey, dad. Mm-hmm. It's in them because God put father in each kid. And I have a kid in my at-school program. I say this. We do a prayer every day. What would you like God to do for you?
Mm-hmm.
And this kid, every prayer, I kid you not, he prayed that he could see his father one day.
Oh, wow.
And he was in the second grade.
Mm.
His prayer every day when we put on our prayer wall is, will I be able to see my dad?
He starts crying.
He don't know who he is.
Mm.
But that's the reason why God puts mentors in place to mentor youth and help them. God, it's not going to take away the pain, but it's kind of like, I'm kind of like Neil Sporin. I just kind of help smooth it, but I'm going to get you where you're going and I'm going to show you love like a father would.
You know, there's no better scene from the show. It's from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yes.
You know which scene I'm talking
about? Yes, yes.
Where Will Smith, I don't know, I think it's Will in the, I don't know his name in the show.
James Avery.
James Avery, yeah. Will Smith's character.
Well, that was the uncle. Uncle Phil was the father. And right. Then his,
well, the father figure.
The father figure, yeah.
But then the father comes back into
Will's life.
Right, Will's life. And all of a sudden, Will's very excited. And
to go on a road trip with his dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the dad had to go leave again.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's like, I'm okay with it. And he was. And that's one of the most heart-wrenching performances that Will Smith, I think, ever gives.
Yeah.
Because it gets me in the feels every time I see it.
Well,
but it's the perfect, I think, example of what a child must go through.
Yeah.
Why was I rejected by my father?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like you don't realize, like I said, going back to the Guardians movie,
yeah,
your father was right there in front of you all along. He was your daddy. Just because you're a father doesn't make you a daddy.
I agree with that.
Right?
I agree
so
with that.
The man that's been in your life, that, you know, that uncle figure in the show was his daddy.
Yeah.
You know, and he's like, look, I'm the one that's here for you. I may not be your biological, but I'm the man that helped raise you, man.
Well, I think that scene hits a lot of people. It hits my wife because my wife grew up without her father.
It's a powerful scene. My gosh.
So sometimes she can't even watch it.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy for me, but actually how I got the cycle ends with me was from that episode.
Yeah.
I kept watching it over and over again, and I realized that Will wanted to break the cycle.
Yeah.
He says, I'm going to be a better father. I'm going to teach my kids how to be a... He was just saying it over and over, and I said, okay, fatherhood is a cycle. So you can break it if you choose to, but I think that each father has to make a conscious decision to say, I'm going to be there for my kid. I'm going to love him. I'm going to support him and be there for him. And that's what I'm hoping that my organization can continue to do with mentoring, because I love it. I love pushing kids. I love coaching them, giving them that tool. I love showing up at school, scaring them. Because I used to have my parents used to come to school and scare me.
Scare you?
They'd be sitting in the back of class like, make a move. So I've done that. I've been to many schools just sitting in the classroom watching that child. Yeah. And I think parents appreciate that because for some unforeseen reason, that father's not there. And I mean, we live in a world that's going to happen, you know. So
it's a broken world.
Broken world. But I'm hoping through my voice I can help women. And you may agree to this, my wife didn't. I said women are more powerful than men because you can make a decision not to lay with a man. Mm. Men gonna always go hunt, but you can make the decision not to lay with a man and not bring in a child in the world who's not ready.
Right.
Because children come to the world, they don't ask to be here.
It does take two to tango.
It takes two.
Yeah.
But I think that's why I want the podcast, because I think it's debatable. But
you're talking about talking about accountability.
Yeah, I believe it's accountability. Yeah. Yeah. So I think that, you know, as a father, I make a lot of I don't want to go out here and why would I go out here and impregnate somebody else and bring a problem into this world? The world already has enough problems. So that's what I mean by decision making every day as a father. I'm tempted to do things wrong every day.
Yep.
Every day. I think we all attempted with multiple options every day. Is that I think about the decision and I also think about the potential consequences
right.
that could come when things come in your head. So I just think that fatherhood is a big realm. My goal is to continue to explore it and also help people who do not understand fatherhood and also help kids who need that support.
With the kids that you're mentoring, I mean, when they come into the program, what's the typical age range that you're getting them in?
I was getting them in from 12 to high school.
That's a very impressionable age.
And that's actually a hard age because it's very hard, they're already molded.
Yeah.
So I had to
they've
get
got, they're hardened.
Yeah.
And they've got they're kind of getting into permanent hardwired territory.
Exactly.
Without realizing, well, hey, it can be different, and I can have a mentor and have somebody in my life who really does give a damn.
Yeah.
But the initial. That hardness has got to be something to overcome.
That's why I need your Thor hammer so I can bring, because that's what I have to do, man. I'm dead serious. I have to, when a parent asks me to work with their kid, I have to, number one, you have to break the mold and you have to develop trust.
Yeah.
Once you develop trust, the child will let you start working with a little easier.
Yeah.
So if you promise to do something, you better be there.
Yeah.
So
is it almost like a boot camp in a way?
No, because I think if you come with anger, the child's already mad.
Yeah.
So you have to show love more than anger.
Yeah.
So I think that I am tough. I am a mean person, but it's meanness with love because the world is mean.
Yeah.
So if I'm always nice and then you get into the world and you be like, man, Mark's tricked me. That's not fun. So when kids come to my program, I'm really stern, but I make sure I show love.
Yeah.
And make sure that if I promise you that we're going to do something, I'm there. So that's the reason why mentor is so important. Helping kids change their lives, breaking the cycle is so important. And actually, if you get enough men to do that, you will see crime decrease. People on the news always asking, what would help decrease crime? I say get enough men to mentor. Enough men to mentor. And you can mentor in all kind of fashions. You can mentor. And it's not always getting a slice of pizza. It's all, I want to help kids get into careers.
Yeah.
And I want to help kids find their passion.
Their self-awareness.
If they find
the thing is.
Exactly. And if they find a passion, they can go anywhere in this world. Every kid's not built to go to college.
Yeah.
Every kid's not built to go to college. There's kids that has gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can help them discover that gift, I find a company to hire them. And if I go to that company every day, because I said, look, either this kid can work for you or he could be robbing you in a couple of years. Which one do you want? I mean, I'm bold with me, man. I'm bold telling people. Because that's the problem that we see that a lot of people are not really, really hitting on.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that, through my podcast, I can reach more people and help more people understand that some kids just need a shot. They need a shot. If they're good at basketball, man, contact them. If they're good at football, man, I'll call whoever. So that's what I do. That's why I push through my mentoring program. I don't believe in grabbing a slice of pizza and take you home. That's a wasted trip.
Right.
Kid ain't always want to go eat.
Well, pizza's involved, so it's not that much of a waste.
Pizza's fine, but is it going to help them move forward? I want to see a kid 18. I got a kid who graduated Tennessee State doing well.
Nice.
Full scholarship.
That's awesome.
Doing well. And I always see him at this sub place I go to, Rick, to go get a sub, and I always see him, but he's doing well.
Yeah.
And it's because we took that time to see him graduate, and that was one of my
priorities. Let him know that someone gives a crap.
Yeah,
that's a huge part of it.
Don't lose. A child does not have to lose. He don't have to lose in life, and that's what I tell kids in my program. You don't have to lose. I have a kid I'm about to start working with again. Got some problems, but I want to be a coach for him.
Yeah,
because he's 18, and so now I say, look, if you trust Mark. And let me guide you and coach you. I'm going to help you succeed. And we're going to put God first. Because if you always put God first, you're going to win.
Absolutely.
And that's what I want to do with my life and bless people, do strong in my father. Also, my school program where we help pre-K through fifth grade. Education is number one in my school program. You get in my program, you better get your homework done. If you got a below a C, I'm talking to you. Nice. So because a child, the statistics shows that children that's can't read below, a third grade level, they're already building prisons for you.
Right.
And that's sad that if a child can't read before third grade, and I always say that's the father's fault.
Yeah.
I'm going to make sure my boys read on grade level. And that's just so important. I'm already pushing my kindergarten now to read because it's so important. Because here's the funny thing, Jim, is that they can grab a cell phone
they'll be able to
at two or three years old and can figure a cell phone out. So if they can figure that out in their brain, they can learn how to read a book.
Absolutely.
And so that's where I want to use my life, my gifts, my talent, until God takes me home, to just bless other people's lives and help break the fatherhood cycle the best way I can.
Well, Marcus, with that being said,
what's your problem?
Man, I can't imagine the problem is having to gift the gap, because you're going to be able to carry a podcast, no problem. Okay.
Well, I hope I don't make people mad, man, because I go, man. I have a lot in me, man. Yeah, I just go.
You're passionate.
Mainly because, man, the problem is so real.
Yeah.
I struggle sleeping sometimes thinking about it, because I just think it's unfair if a child grows up without both pieces.
Yeah.
And that...
What's the problem you're kind of thinking about? What is keeping you up at night? I mean, probably about the podcast, I would imagine.
No, right? Man, the podcast, that's easy. That's easy. I'm going to talk. I think my problem is getting people's mindset to change concerning fatherhood. We kind of use it as a one-time thing. June comes around, Father's Day, and then it's thrown away. It's like Mother's Day can carry for months, but Father's Day is like, let's knock Father's Day out and bury it. But well,
there's also been an emasculation of the emasculation of the American male.
Yeah.
That's been going on since I first picked up on it. I would say even going back as far to the show Roseanne.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And my father, he couldn't stand that show because, the father figure in that show was just emasculated and just, cast aside as a lesser figure, not an equal figure, but a lesser figure. And, you can make the argument that the previous generations did that to the mother figure and stuff like that. But, he was just made to be like a clown, and it's been carried forward in commercials, in society, and the dad, dad jokes, nobody really respects the dad anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, there's an element of why would I want to do that if I'm not going to have the respect aspect of it?
Well, I think that's a true statement. I think that respect is given and earned.
Yeah, it is.
Absolutely. I think that if a real father can carry his home, when I go into my house, I know I'm the king of the castle, but I respect the queen.
Right.
But the queen doesn't go over the king.
Well, I mean, in biblical, to define the roles of husband and wife, it's the wife to honor the husband.
Exactly.
And the husband to respect the wife. It's, I don't know what the phrasing is, but it's basically...
Well, it's just respect the wife like Christ respects like Christ loves the male.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has to be taught.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be taught. But if women have been taught to be tough, I can go without a man, that's a mindset.
Yeah.
And then when you meet a guy who's really trying to do right, it's trust.
Yeah.
It's breaking, can I pull down that guard and trust a man if a man's been running on me all my life?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where you have a disconnect at, I believe. But I believe there are good men out here. I know of some great fathers who take good care of their kids.
Yeah.
Oh, but when I look at their lineage, I've seen that they've had their fathers. And I've seen a few guys who's doing good who didn't have a father. So it is a 50-50. But when you look at nearly 70% of kids in the African-American community are growing up without a father.
Yeah.
So that's just the honest truth.
Right.
And it's happening all the time.
So the narrative that's out there, you feel flies in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Yours is counterindicative to what is the narrative out there, right?
Yeah.
So you and I discussing this prior to recording, one of the problems I kind of felt evident was like, okay, how much of a lightning rod do I need to be on my podcast?
Mm.
Is that a problem? Is that what you're trying to figure out?
I think yes. Yeah. I think also is that women are mad.
Right.
I run an after-school program, probably the only male, black male that runs that. Because most after-school programs, you see women.
Mm-hmm.
You don't usually see a black male that's running an after-school program. So sometimes when I would deal with the women, I always felt that they were taking their vengeance out on me because I'm not the baby father. I'm not your child's father.
Right.
But they want to just take out their frustration. I've had that happen. And I'm like, I didn't sleep with you, so why are you mad at me? So I've had that. I'm like, wow, I'm trying to help you, not hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think that when fathers are not there and women has been, abused by men, you have it, that non-trust factor. So
it's basically a release that has to happen.
Yeah.
And you just happen to be there at the moment.
I get it, man.
Yeah.
But you know what?
And you're okay with that. And hopefully at the end, you feel better. Yeah, good. I'm glad I could be
a service. Let people vent. I think about what I'm going to eat for the night, man. Yeah. I learned how to block a lot of things out. Yep. But my point is trying to help you because it's not a lot of men doing it. I remember going to pre-K schools picking up kids, and the teachers are staring at me like, what is this big guy coming to school picking up these kids? And they would look because of the stereotype.
Yeah.
They're usually dealing with women picking up kids. And I wanted to break that stereotype to say, yeah, there are some great men out here who want to impact kids' lives. It's not pedophiles and not bad men, but someone who's trying to do good. And it took me time to get, you know, gain trust. Mm-hmm. And that's why, as a leader, I have to do right.
Yeah.
But my main problem is, you know, seeing kids thinking that when they look at Instagram and they see people with splashing out money and, you know, so, you know, certain celebrities, they think that's what the norm is. And it's not, you know, where, you know, pictures of hardworking men that's showing kids a different life outside of drugs, alcohol, or, and one thing I do have a main problem with is reality shows. I can't stand them because a lot of the shows stands from the father. And there are some shows me and my, I would not watch with my wife because I'm saying I already know the problem. But these were kids, and that started happening, what, back 06, 07 with some of the VH1 shows that came out. And then kids start watching them and start acting these things out. So my way of mentoring is old school. Is, you know, go work. Let's go do some volunteer work. Teach you to value your work. That's my thing. But my whole problem is continue to fight for fatherhood and, and let people make better decisions so your child will make it.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. When your child is brought into the world, my whole goal is to be sure my child makes it. That's all I want in my life is my child can make it. Well, hopefully he becomes a father one day. He carries my niece's name, continue to keep the cycle going and not be there for their children. So I think my whole, that's my whole MO when it comes to fatherhood is continue to fight for kids who don't have their father figure and know that there's someone in this world that cares enough about you that I want to see you make it.
Absolutely.
And I have to sacrifice part of my life from my family, and my family understands that, but they know dad has a cutoff that I'm going to be sure my family's well, good as well. But that's my whole thing is fatherhood. Churches, I wish churches would step up more for fatherhood. I'm sorry. I think churches can do a whole lot more, but the problem in churches is 85% of churches are mostly women, especially in the African-American community. They're women. Where's the men?
Right.
You know.
Well, what, they're usually leading the sermons and stuff.
That's it.
Right.
But very few men that I've seen really step up and say, we're going to be mentors. We're going to help. You know, it's just a hard thing to do, man. I just think that before I get out here and really raise a lot of fuss about it, be sure you have the solution. And I say mentoring. I say put. I've seen some great mentoring programs that's helping kids make a great difference in their lives. I've seen it. But I just think that more need to step up because there's a lot of great programs for African-American girls. A lot of great programs, but it's not a lot for African-American young men.
Well, you're leading the way. So, I mean,
well, that's I'm just one. But I wish more would step up. And here's what I tell people. Take a part of your life out. Everybody wants to make it. And I agree with that. We don't want to make it. We want to make money. We want. That's cool. Once you get to that status where you feel like you made it, go back and grab a kid. Even if you, in your lifetime, you just grab one. I feel like you made a difference. If you grab one kid and say, you know what? I made it to this status in life. Now I want to grab you so you can be at that same status too. And then hopefully another kid will pick another kid up. Then that's a cycle. But I see so many selfish people that it's me first. Me. But Christ said, go back and help somebody. Go out and help someone. And that's what I want to do is that if I don't make $1 million in this lifetime, I care less. But when I hit that dirt, I want to say that I did everything I could do in this earthly body.
With your giftings.
With my gifts, exactly, to pick somebody up and help them along the way. And so I can be selfish. I can raise my two boys, give them the tools, live a happy, comfortable life. I can. But what is it worth What is it worth my life if I couldn't bless somebody else?
Right.
What is it worth?
There was one instance of, you follow any of these business influencers on Instagram at all?
Sometimes.
Yeah, you know Grant Cardone, does that ring a bell?
No, the okay. ones that you invite, showed me to, I've been watching them. I've been watching them.
Grant Cardone did something really cool one time. He went to a high school and, you know, volunteered his time to go show up. You know, he gets paid to speak
at
these conventions, but he went to a, I think he just did a string of different high schools and spoke in front of the student body and told them, look, you know, what your teachers are teaching you is all good and all, but you got to think entrepreneurially. You got to think about money and how money can affect your life and the realistic aspects of money and how to, you know, think about making yourself wealthy. And he did his whole spiel in front of a whole high school. And it was really just... It was quite something to see because it's not something you see. These kids probably didn't realize who they had in front of them. But, you know, someone kind of countering the typical narrative that these kids hear. And that's something I instill in my kids. You know, you need to be at one point pretty self-sufficient. So if anything happens with your job, you know you're able to go out and make something happen.
Yeah, right? I agree with that.
Yeah. So, I mean, whether it's entrepreneurial, whether it's sales, selling, or something like that. So I've always imparted that selling ability to my kids and making sure my son is 13 years old. He helps me out with some of my voiceover production and editing. And he's got the most money of any 13-year-old that I know because I've taught him... Look, when you are earning something, it all started with him wanting an Oculus, right? $400 video game Oculus thing. I said, okay, well, what are we going to do to get there? Well, you're going to get it for my birthday. No, I'm not. That's $400, dude. And if I'm going to have to be, you know, fair to the rest of your siblings, that's a $1,200 year. No, not doing that. But let's figure it out. I'll help you a little along the way. But how are we going to do this? I said, I've been telling you for months that I need help doing my editing. Here's what I'm willing to pay. I will teach you how to do it. I know you're going to pick it up like that. And he did.
Wow.
And it's teaching him work ethic, you know, every day. Hey, how many minutes tonight, Dad? 15 to 20 minutes of my raw file that I recorded. And he knows that's probably take him about half an hour to 40 minutes. But in that time, the dude is making what I used to make in my part-time job when I was 16 years old.
Wow.
A week.
Wow.
Okay. And it's like, you know, I don't mind paying him that. But he is starting to really understand, and he's now seen the money in his bank account. Now he's really hesitant to spend it because he's like, I know what it took to get there.
And he's developed a work ethic.
Yeah.
But look who's doing it.
Yeah.
It's the father.
But I told him, you seen me do it. I said, I've got things I want in life. Yeah, I want a Mercedes. That's one of my sold Mercedes. I will own a Mercedes someday. That's I got to get it out of my system. But if I follow my own rules that I'm imparting to him, I need to have 2 to 3 times the amount of that car saved up in my bank account first.
I agree with that.
Right? So I said, save 2 to 3 times the amount of the Oculus. Because, dude, once you blow it, you got money left.
Yeah.
All right? I said, you know what? How old I was before I had $1,000 in my account? He goes, how old? I said, probably not even 20, 21 years old.
Wow.
It was that late for me.
Wow.
My parents tried. I just didn't listen.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, I think that... You giving him tools.
Yeah.
And so I think that every child is born with a gift.
Yeah, absolutely.
From God. And I believe that every child is born with a gift.
And I think our challenge as parents is to help them find out what that is.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that my mother helped me because I was failing coming out of high school. I failed miserable. I went from junior college, you would not believe it, from 94 to 2008.
Yeah.
I wasted that many years in a 2-year college, mainly because I didn't have a mentor coming out of high school to push me.
Yeah.
Had 2 great parents.
Well, you and I came out of the time where college was just shoved down our throats.
Yeah.
You and I are the same age.
It was
basically, if you didn't go to college, the narrative or what was imparted to us, you don't go to college, you're just going to be a loser.
Yeah.
You're not going to have a good life.
I was
the trades. Good luck.
It was funny because I felt like I was pushed that way.
Yeah.
And I used to blame my parents until my sister went off and said, Mark, you can't blame mom and dad. You got to blame yourself.
Right.
If you wanted to do something better with your life, you could have made that choice. But it wasn't until 2003 when my mother gave me a book and said, teach Sunday school. Yeah. And I was like, Mom, I don't want to do that. And she was like, do it for your mama. That's her code word. Is do it for your mama.
Yeah.
And from reading that book is why I'm sitting here with you today.
Yeah.
It helped me go get an associate's degree. I went straight and got a undergrad in psychology and a master's from Trevecca in organizational leadership. But I never talk about the degrees God blessed me to get, because it doesn't matter. It matters if I can lift somebody else and help them get a degree.
You know, funny thing about Trevecca University, we did the complete LED lighting conversion.
Wow.
Big.lighting.com. Go check out the video.
So
quick plug.
Cool. With the quick plug. So, I have a great, great experience. I would tell people about my experiences from, but it wasn't until I found the gift of speaking and teaching.
Yeah.
I know I have a gift to teach and impact lives and motivate people. And I ain't crazy about motivation. I'm really not. If you want to do it, just do it.
Yeah.
You know, I love the late Kobe Bryant, his mentality, Mamba. I say that all the time. Mm. A lot of my passwords is Black Mamba. You know, right. I have that mindset to say, I'm going to go get it. Even if you doubt me, I'm going to prove you wrong.
Right.
People have doubted me, doubted my organization for 8 years. I say, you know what? Watch me on TV.
Right.
You're going to watch me do interviews of impact in life because you don't believe in me. And I push myself. Yeah. I push myself probably harder than anybody because I want to live some of my dreams out.
Yeah.
And that, you know, through me, I can help lift other kids up and other people up and help even adults live a dream. Don't let your age stop you from living what it long you. I tell everybody, if you wake up every morning, you got a shot to live in your dream.
Yep.
It ain't going to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be hard. Steve Harvey said it best. You're going to hit some rocks. You're going to get some scrapes, but eventually your parachute is going to open to your dreams. And then when you get there, don't forget to lift somebody else up. So that's why I use my life, my organization. I'm passionate about sacrificing my life to bless other people's lives. And I push people to say, live your dream. A lot of people understand where I'm going. I have board members sometimes understand where Mark is going.
Right.
But I'm telling you, I'm trying to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And if I feel you holding me back, I do get upset because I'm trying to get somewhere because life is so short.
It is.
Life is short.
Amen.
And I want to get everything out of me before I hit that dirt because I have visions and things I want to do. I didn't ever know I would meet you to prepare to do a podcast.
Right.
And I'm so excited that's probably why I can't sleep sometimes. Because I'm like, I'm ready to get behind his mic, interview people. I'm a debater.
Yeah.
My wife says, before we watch this show, are we going to debate? Dead serious.
Yeah.
She'll ask me. If we're going to debate, I'm not watching it. So I love that debate. I love pushing people's buttons. I don't know why I like doing that, but I love debating. I love seeing other people's opinions. Mm-hmm. The barbershop is probably my best place to debate. I get people riled up at the barbershop, but we're actually looking to do a film in the barbershop because I want to understand the other side of fatherhood.
Sure.
And people say, why you keep saying the other side? I said, there's another side of it that I think people need to understand. And the other side is, what's the problem?
Yeah.
Like your podcast is that I didn't go through not having a father. I didn't go through child support. I didn't go through trying to fight to see my kids. I never went through that.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to understand why.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say, why is it so hard to see your kids?
Right.
And so why is it so hard to be a father? And so I want to understand that and bring it to the light so people can understand the whole ram of fatherhood instead of just saying, yeah, I grew up with my dad, because I get the backlash.
Yeah.
Saying,
you don't know what it's like.
There we go. Yep. You don't know what it's like.
Yep.
No, I don't.
No.
But
I know what it's like to do it the right way.
But I said, I know I do it the right way. Yeah. And are you blessed? Are you helping somebody else out?
And are you willing to listen?
Exactly. But I always say, are you willing to go help somebody else out?
Right.
So when people debate me and fuss, I say, well, who are you helping?
Mm-hmm.
Who are you blessing?
Right.
Who are you helping pull up? Or are we just going to debate? It's pictures on me on Facebook. It's all about me.
Mm-hmm.
I care less about me.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I care about health so I can live. But outside of it, I really care less about the validation. And I want to write a blog that says, don't do it for the validation. Do it for the love.
Mm-hmm.
I know everybody want to be validated. And I do from time to time. But then I ignore it about being validated. Somebody pat me on the back, say, Mark, you did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Care less about that. My mom trained me that way to say, stop looking for a pat on the back. So I'm looking, I teach a Sunday school lesson, hope four or five people say, Mark, you did a great job.
Yeah.
I've taught Sunday school and no one said a word to me. And I'm like, okay, but I'll be prepared for the next time.
Mm-hmm.
Because if not, your mind will start thinking, or if you do a podcast and no one's response, no one gives a like, no one says you did a great job, you're like, man, should I keep doing this? Keep doing it.
How do you know that happens? That actually does happen.
Keep doing it. Keep doing it.
Well, that's something that takes age and time to realize, because
man,
I'm 60 some odd episodes into this podcast. And yeah, so, you know, I know it's going to take a while for it to get some traction, but you're right. You got to keep going.
You keep going. I've had times, my mom told me a great lesson. I would teach Sunday school and nobody would show up. Mm-hmm. And my mom said, that lesson was just for you. Mm-hmm. Keep teaching.
Yep.
She said, when you teach Sunday school, you teach like this place is full.
Mm-hmm.
So when I teach hard.
Yeah,
I teach hard. When I do the podcast, I'm coming hard.
Yep.
Because I want people to listen. I want people to understand. I want people. I want to invite as many guests I can get on to debate with Mark.
Yep.
Do you want to debate? Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Because the problem we have in this society is that kids don't get a chance to see their fathers. And you know, it's funny that when you go get a car for Father's Day, them cars are easy to find, but it's hard to find a Mother's Day card. It is. I can find my dad a car real easy.
Yeah, last minute.
Yeah, last minute. Mother's Day, you got to go a week or two early because you ain't going to get a good car. It's just society. But I think that, you know, my journey is just to understand and also to help people realize that fathers matter. Fatherhood, and I'm going to say that and preach it to the day I die, fatherhood matters because kids that grow up with both parents have a greater success. And I've seen kids with just one parent be fully successful. So I always will say that. But it's nothing like saying, you know, dad's home.
Yeah.
You know, when my kids, when I get home, I can hear my kids running saying dad's home.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good feeling.
It's
a good feeling when I know I don't have to bring drama in my house.
When they get older, it kind of tapers off. But, you know.
Yeah. But you know what? At 45, I still blessed to call my father.
Mm-hmm.
I call him 2 or 3 times a week just to hear his voice. Mm-hmm. Pop, you okay? You good?
And that is that. Then I'll tell you from as a standpoint of somebody who's I lost my father in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you've got the right mindset because they're not always going to be here.
Yeah,
so there's going to be a day that it's going to be very sad.
Yeah, you know, in my mindset, I'm 45. My dad's 70.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that time will probably come unless mm-hmm. I leave before him.
Yeah.
And one thing my father said is that I want to be sure that you can make it once I go.
Mm.
He said, I want you to be able to make it. He said that in 2005 at a marriage retreat. Yeah. He said, I work my boy so hard, but I know if I left this earth, they'll make it. And that's why I want to leave my boys. I actually said this, and I've never told my wife. I said, if I die and my son couldn't preach my eulogy, I wouldn't want a funeral. Because who knows me best outside of my boys? Who aside my wife and my boys, who knows me the best? Aside my parents.
Yeah.
You know, because I want to keep my son, my oldest son has autism. He's 12.
Right.
But he's very smart. And when autism happened, when my wife told my son was 2 or 3, he had autism, it rocked my world. I was like, why me?
Mm.
Why did my son have to go through this? My son loves God and he preaches all the time. I've never seen that in a child that loves God and preaching more than him. But I still have to be that father figure for him.
Yeah.
And my wife fusses me with church and everything else. But I'm like, my job is to protect my son, make sure he can be somebody in this lifetime. That's all I care about, that he can be great. And wherever God puts him on this earth, I just want to be there to help him along on his journey. But fatherhood matters to me. I'm going to always say it till I hit that dirt. Fatherhood matters. Be there for your kids. Fight for your children so they can have an opportunity just to continue to live the life that God has designed for them. Fight for them. And that's what I do, man. And I'm hoping that through our podcast, it'll shed more of a light on fatherhood, not just on Father's Day weekend, but it's 24/7. I'm going to preach fatherhood. And I don't care who likes it, but be there for your kids because your kids need you. And you wouldn't believe the things that kids imagine saying, where's my daddy?
Yeah.
Where's my daddy? We always hear mommy. And the last thing is, look at NFL players. Who do they say on TV hi to?
Their mom.
Have you seen hi, dad?
Nope.
I have not seen it yet. Well, a player says hi, dad is hi, mama.
Right.
And that's sad.
Taking my mom to, I'm buying my mom a house.
Yeah, I'm buying my mom a house.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where's I'm gonna buy my? It's very few.
Couple. Where are the kids buying their dad a Mercedes for crying out loud? Maybe that's what my kids need to do for me.
I mean, you see a few, but you only see the stories on Father's Day. A couple NFL players bought their dad a truck. Crew.
Yeah.
But man, if more fathers would step up throughout the year and be there for their child and love their child, crime would decrease because parents, a child is not brought into this world to do crime.
Yeah.
A child is not brought into this world to do crime. A child is brought to do whatever is taught.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be taught to either do good or it's going to be taught to do bad. My dad worked me to death so I couldn't do bad.
Right.
He worked me cutting tobacco, chopping wood, cutting grass. I did that from when I was a baby up to now.
And you love it now, right?
And I go cut grass with my dad and hope I don't die. But he's 70. He's 70 can go out there and cut like it ain't nothing. I was cutting with him 2 weeks ago. And Jesus, I only made it about 2 hours. And I'm drinking all kind of water because I'm like, Dad, I thought I was in shape to go. And my dad said, just sit down. You ain't ready. You ain't ready. But you know what? This is a story. I'll say this, is that out of three boys, I was the worst boy.
Wow.
I was the worst one. I gave my dad the most problems.
I was. I was the, not, I want to say undesirable, but I mean, my brother, I was definitely living in his shadow.
I was the worst one.
Yeah.
I got the most whoopings. And I remember I hated cutting grass. I hated people making fun of me, but I didn't understand my father was being a father.
Yeah.
So, I say about 5-6 years ago, God put on my heart to talk to my dad and apologize for being a knucklehead.
Mm-hmm.
I said in that language terms, I was a knucklehead.
Yeah, but you know, and as a father now, you look at that and you realize that sometimes kids just have to go through that.
Well, it bothered me, and then I met my dad cutting grass somewhere. Met him, and he's, hey, what's going on, son? Pop, you know, I just went straight to it. I ain't waste no time. I said, Pop, I need to apologize for being your worst son.
Mm-hmm.
And I says, I didn't know you was trying to be a father. I didn't understand everything until Marcus Jr. was brought into this world. It seemed like God brought everything back to my memory of what kind of son I was to my father when MJ was born. And I went back to my father and I apologized. And he said this. He said, I knew one day you would understand.
Yeah.
That's all he said. I'm crying like a baby.
Because you know what? At some point, he probably did that to his father.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing that you got to remember is that it is cyclical and generational. Here's something you're probably not even aware of or thinking of. There's a video on YouTube of my brother talking about our father and how he came to Christ at the end of his life. A first shall be last shall be first type of scenario. And my father was a very opinionated guy. I'm going to have control over my life. I'm going to dictate how I go out kind of disposition. So didn't happen that way. Mm-hmm. If you want to hear God laugh, you tell him your plans.
Yeah.
But at the end of, towards the end of his life, he confessed to my brother saying, look, I apologize to you, because he really did kind of put my brother on a road of, my brother always wanted to be a musician.
Yeah.
Play keyboards and piano and stuff, being a traveling band. Always knew he could do it, but my parents were all of the generation, you got to have something to fall back on.
I agree with
right?
that.
You know, and you can't, you know, we just don't have confidence that you'll be able to make some sort of a career in the music business.
Wow.
Now, looking back on that, brother would basically tell you that, yeah, I would have figured something out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the disposition I have with my kids. I said, you're going to figure something out and I'm going to be there to support it. But my father basically, he says, I apologize to you, Dan, for putting you on the path that you may not have been made to be on. You know, even though you ended up in a profession that you like and you seem to enjoy, I really did I sent you to business school and majoring in with a marketing degree that, you know, because my brother even said, look, if I majored in music in college, I would have had a free ride to law school because I would have aced everything.
Wow.
You know,
he says,
but Dad, maybe get a master's in business administration or a bachelor's in business administration.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, enabled him to led him to law school. But he says, look, if it would have been music, I would have aced it and I would have gotten the free ride to law school. And I remember him telling me that. And he says, I don't blame Dad for that. Dad was just doing what he thought was best.
He thought
at the time,
best. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because of his generation, college gave you an edge.
Yeah.
You know, and I, you know, he was the firstborn McCarthy to complete college. I never did.
Mm-hmm.
It just wasn't me.
Yeah.
But, you know. And because of that, I held on to that. I was very blue collar early on in my career before I got into radio. I did. My father basically, you know, took not pity, but mercy. Well, okay, Jim's not going to, he's not college material. I guess the one thing I got to teach you to do is do the family business. And that's what you're going to do and figure it out from there. He ended up getting out of the business, but I learned the skills of the business. I learned a little bit about selling, how to network with people. I got into the electrical business because we were doing a partnership with an electrician at the time, and I learned that trade.
Mm-hmm.
But I always saw myself as less than because of what was pounded on me all through high school.
Wow.
That if you don't go to college, you're going to be a loser. Okay.
Wow.
It wasn't until I found my identity and purpose in radio that started going away.
Wow.
So it was massively impactful.
We are actually the same way.
Yeah.
Because I was the same thing. Mm-hmm. Coming out in 94, my mom was like, you just going to go to Natural Tech because you're not ready for Tennessee State.
Right.
Because I wanted to go to Tennessee State when I came out of high school. And somewhat she was right, and somewhat I say my mom was wrong. I didn't know what I'm going to do out of high school. But what pushed me was all my friends had degrees.
Yeah.
All my friends had degrees from Tennessee State and other places. But
you feel less than.
But exactly. Yeah. But here's the thing why I felt less than is that my mom has a I guess what you call a cabinet or whatever in her living room, real nice fancy cabinet. And she had pictures of my youngest brother and my youngest sister graduating from college, shaking the dean's hand.
Mm.
And I wanted my picture there.
Yeah.
And so
that's what motivated. That was your why.
Now, let me tell you what motivated me. Mm-hmm. This was going to make you laugh. Is that I said it to my mother. I said, Mom, one day I'm going to have my picture there. And I said it one too many times. My mom snaps. She said, quit talking about it and just do it.
Yeah.
And I loses it.
Mm.
I lose it quick.
Did you?
In my mind, I said, all right, I'm going to prove you wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You mess with the Mamba. And next thing I know, I remember when I finished Nashville Tech and I called my mother and I said, go get my picture frame.
Yeah.
Your son just graduated from college. And then I did it again when I finished Tennessee State. I threw it in my mother's face.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, go get my picture frame. Your son just got his bachelor's degree.
Well, you found your why.
But hold up. You know? I did it when I did my master's because of the anger I had against my mother. I wanted to always throw it in her face. And I knew it wasn't right, but I was so mad. And then she went off on me when I got my master's and she says, what's your problem?
Mm-hmm. Bing.
And I said, you didn't encourage me and I'm just losing it.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom told me why. But I honestly didn't need a master's.
Mm-hmm.
I could have probably got a bachelor's and been fine with it. Yeah. But I thought I needed a master's because I seen other people. So my wife is more, I tell people in this world, my wife is more gifted than me on computers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
My wife didn't finish college, but she's more gifted than me. All my bachelor's and my master's degree should have her name on it.
Yeah.
Because without her help, I wouldn't have got it.
Right.
I don't have to do Microsoft Excel. You tell me right now, Mark, let's do Excel. I'll look at you.
Yeah.
But I passed the class.
Yeah.
So she's gifted at it. I cannot do Excel right. And I'm not ashamed of it. I don't do it enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm Microsoft Word and PowerPoint. My wife can do PowerPoints well amazing than me.
Yeah.
When I have to do presentations, who does my PowerPoints? My wife.
Yeah.
So I tell kids, you don't always have to go to college. Use your gift to make you money.
Yeah.
Use your gift to take care of your life. If you're good at cutting grass, grass cutters make $100,000 more a year.
Yep.
Cutting grass. If I took over my dad's business, I could make $100,000 a year cutting grass and landscaping. I know how to do both.
Yeah.
People know how to wash cars. That's good at washing cars. People make $100,000 a year washing cars. Just washing cars. Get a mobile detail truck and wash cars because you're gifted at making things look good.
Well, here's the thing. I think the conversation definitely took a turn in the past two decades, especially with guys like Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs leading the charge.
Yeah.
Saying it's okay. To do the, you know, society still needs these roles.
Yeah.
You wouldn't believe that, you know, a garbage man actually makes a pretty good living.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you're skilled at that, maybe it's a stepping stone. Maybe it's something else. But what you're gifting, you know, like we need electricians here.
Yeah.
We need heating and air conditioning techs here.
You ain't lying.
Okay. They're hard to find, man.
Yes.
They are hard to find because we gotta encourage those trays again.
And you know? If your AC go out, you're going to look for somebody.
Oh, yeah. You're a hero.
Because our AC went out upstairs. And it was hot.
That's the one thing my father used to instill in me when we did telephones. He says, you need to flip your mindset because I was going into a lot of white collar places.
Yeah.
Lawyers' offices, doctor's offices. And these people in Westchester County, New York, man, they would look down on you because you were blue collar. And that was the mentality. But he says, you need to look at that. And your mindset's got to be that you're their hero.
Yeah,
and I said, it's funny that he said that to me because that's one of the core values we're trying to permeate here you know, at Big Dot, we need to be the hero to our clients, to our customers. We're there to save them
because
they have got an issue, right?
Yeah.
And they're uncomfortable and we got to fix that. Let's be their hero.
And I think that any child that I'm working with, I want to find their gifts.
Yeah.
If they say, hey, I want to cook, I really enjoy cooking. you know I'm going to find somebody to teach culinary skills.
Mm-hmm.
I'll call somebody and say, look, I need to get this kid in your school. I've called Nosy School of Art to work with a kid who's gifted at, or he was gifted to draw.
Mm-hmm.
You know how much animators make?
Oh, yeah.
People that animate for Avatar, how much they make?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. People in Disney?
Make.
Yeah.
So I think that children, we have to get us, because, you know, I grew up in a stereotype, you know, 90s, early 2000s, you need to do degrees. Yeah. Most people had respect for you had degrees.
Yeah.
You know, not
you're
if
not
you
going to get anywhere without one.
Yeah, I think that's a lie, too. So I think
now it is, especially. Yeah. You know what's going to get you somewhere now is a really big social profile. It's a meritocracy.
Your gift. Yep. I say your gift is what's going to get you. That's true. Gifted in radio, podcasting, that's your gift. And you use that to make money. You're gifted or you're good at it.
Thank you.
And that's why I want kids to understand that if you're good at something, let that make money for you. My dad left Peterbilt when they shut down in 2008.
Yeah.
He's never punched the clock.
Yeah.
For anybody else.
He did his thing.
He cuts grass.
Yeah.
And he loves it. That's his piece. He loves cutting grass. And he's never punched the clock. I love working for myself.
Yeah.
I don't want to work for nobody else again.
Yeah.
I love what I do. I love waking up every day. When I left my factory job in 18, I've been grinding and running ever since. Probably why I don't sleep well at night. I don't. Right. But because my wife says, if I could take a picture of you, will you sleep a little like you thinking? And I'm like, why? I don't sleep that bad. And she said, yes, you do. But I want to continue to use my life to bless other people's lives and see them grow and be. You know, I would love to have a kid produce my podcast and be like, I'm producing Mr. Marcus podcast because I'm good at radio.
Right.
Then, you know, you find a way to make money at it. Mm-hmm. And my sister, good at YouTube. She left a great career at Nissan. But she says my passion is YouTubing, cooking, and showing people how to cook and live a healthy life. Now she has over 10,000 followers on her
YouTube
page.
Good for her.
10,000 followers on YouTube page.
Yeah.
And she's gifted. That was her gift.
Yeah.
And taking pictures, doing videos. I tell people, go for that's gonna make you happy inside when you go for your gift.
Yeah.
And
it's not gonna seem like work.
No. Yeah. I mean, here's the hard part for me doing what I'm doing is mental. Because I'm used to hands on working.
Yeah.
And my board says, Mark, you gotta do the networking, you gotta go eat lunch. And I'm like, I got to be hands-on. So I'm trying to transition my mind from all the hands-on things I'm doing to the networking, building relationships, and meeting people. So when I can get these kids somewhere, I have a car that I can take them to and say, hey, I know this guy. I know this guy. And then these kids will have a shot at a better life. And then you have to promise me, and I'm going to tell the kids in my program, you got to promise me that if you have a kid, you're going to be there for them.
Yeah.
And if you can do that for Mr.
Pay
Marcus,
it forward.
Yeah, I feel like my life would be fulfilled.
Marcus Manise, founder, CEO of Stronger Than My Father. Go check them out at strongerthanmyfather.org. Man, great. I knew we'd have a great conversation.
I appreciate
every time
it, man.
We're always having talking about great stuff. Any other ways? So you're on Facebook, you're on Twitter, Instagram, and everything. They could find everything at strongerthanmyfather.org.
Yeah, they can find everything about me at strongerthanmyfather.org, speaking engagement. If you have me to speak to you.
The future podcast is going to be
produced by Jim McCarthy.
Not only that, but we're calling it
Fatherhood Matters. It's going to be everything stemming from fatherhood, today's world, but centered around that fatherhood matters.
Absolutely. Check it out when it's out there. Fatherhood Matters should be start to deploy mid-July is what we're targeting.
Yep.
And, of course, if there's anybody that you have in mind that has some problems, they'd like to talk about them, hit us up. What'sYourProblemPodcast.com. My name is Jim McCarthy. I am your host. Thanks, Marcus, once again for coming all the way out here.
I appreciate it. Yeah, this has been fun. I got to do this again.
Absolutely. We'll have you on again.
All right.
Recurring guest.
I'll do it.
All right, buddy.